Shalom LaYehudim, Shalom LaBnei Noach, Shalom LaGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Vav Ba'Adar Beis, Parashat Vayikra, Tavshinayin Vav, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 15 March 2016, webcasting from the Holy Land, better translated as Land of Holiness that obsesses the world. It really is an obsession, this chronic inflammation of, if not the brain, then the soul, which is why I prefer the word anti-Jewitis over anti-Semitism, which was a lie the day it was invented. By the mid-19th century, the Europeans had lost faith in Christianity and therefore lost their belief in deicide and therefore had no more excuse for their Jew hatred, which I think is nothing but the last development of the defect in man that prompted Adam and Eve to rebel against God. People hate the Jews because they remain faithful to the Torah they have lived by since Mount Sinai, where the Almighty blessed them with these five books. Anti-Jews, Jewish and Gentile alike, since the Age of Enlightenment, sneer and snicker at this claim. Oh, come on, you don't believe in that old legend, do you? That God dictated to Moses the five books? Harumph. The enlightened have guffawed this way since then. To which I say, okay, it's all a myth, it's all folklore. But if so, what a story that has not only sustained the Jews for thousands of years, even though their suffering for their faith has been immense. The story of the Jews also gave birth to Christianity and the culture and civilization of Christendom and Islam with its billion-plus believers. Call it folklore, call it an old wives' tale, call it superstition. But if so, it nonetheless remains the power to create global history for thousands of years, to produce great works of art, a painting, sculpture, music, based on biblical stories. Jewishness also was responsible for the far less ponderous themes, like the ordinary everyday attempt to murder a Jew, like the ones yesterday, a kilometer less than that from the family plot of the Jewish nation, the cave of the patriarchs and matriarchs in Hebron. There were two separate incidents. The seed of Ishmael, though, and both tried to murder the seed of Israel because the seed of Ishmael believes the seed of Israel must be oppressed and humiliated. And if the Jews resist, they must be killed. But, thank God, the IDF soldiers in both cases emerged almost unscathed as they slew the savage Arabs with accurate gunfire. Maybe I'm imagining things, but it seems that our sons are excellent marksmen, for they keep killing these wild asses in the form of male and female Homo sapiens, virtually rabid in their homicidal violence. I always say anti-Semitism is three words, lying about Jews, but I'm also inclined to go beyond the lies and see beneath to the delusions and the hallucinations these people are afflicted by. And for this reason, I was most pleased yesterday to read of the Israeli ambassador to the madhouse that is the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva, who accused the organization of suffering from OCD, Obsessive Compulsive Disorder. Ambassador Evyatar Ganot, Ynet News reported, spoke at a weekend discussion on the organization's annual report that deals with six reports and five resolutions condemning Israel, each one, while ignoring all other countries in the Middle East in the matter of human rights. He said, quote, "The council suffers from obsessive compulsive disorder with regards to Israel. The council can't control its disorder and writes more and more reports and resolutions against my country. I want to remind you all that as a symptom of this order, it's an increased risk of suicide. The council will bring about its own death. What this council needs is psychiatric help. I suggest that the council expose itself to other conflict areas of the world and deal with them with the same level of hysteria that they deal with Israel," close quote. Bravo. He then cited a recent UN report from another committee on the tens of millions of Arabs in Syria, Iraq, and Yemen suffering the consequences of out-of-control violence and said, "Yet the council has decided to discuss five or six resolutions against Israel. This is shameful and demonstrates complete disregard for the human rights of these millions." Yep, precisely. Thank you, Ambassador Evyatar Ganot. Anti-Jewitis is an out-of-control obsession for those afflicted by it, and they are in the hundreds of millions. The image of the Jews in their minds enrages them and makes them want to kill Jews. There are Hamas videos, you know, you can watch in which little children are indoctrinated with cosmic hatred of Jews. The Jews are not just the enemy, they are the devil incarnate. And in every Arab country, you can buy books describing how at Pesach the Jews place captive Gentiles in barrels, then jam pointed, hollow iron spikes from the outside to the inside to stab their victims and suck out their blood. Yeah, YNET News today reported that this Sheikh Khaled Mughrabi, who has preached in Al-Aqsa Mosque, routinely delivered sermons soaked in Jew hatred and accusations. He did not say the Holocaust did not take place. He said the Holocaust did take place because the Jews kidnapped non-Jewish children, placed them in barrels with needles, and used the blood to make what he called their, quote, special bread. For this, he was arrested and this week sentenced to 11 months in prison and a second suspended sentence of another 6 months. This is the 21st century, ladies and gentlemen, but these Arabs are still living in the Dark Ages, which, by the way, were nicknamed dark thanks to the spread of Islam that blocked off from Europe Mediterranean olive oil and forced the less efficient use in Northern Europe of wax candles. Literally, things were darker in those days. It was Islam that brought on the Dark Ages, and here is this holy man in Islam judged worthy to preach at Al-Aqsa Mosque when he is plainly starker, as he's stark raving mad when it comes to Jews. In the West, such lunatics, at least since 1945, are experienced as lunatics, madmen, not to be taken seriously, and here he is preaching at the third holiest mosque in Islam. Islam is this topsy-turvy universe in which men like him are revered as holy, intelligent, educated, wise, virtuous, spiritual role models. And then there are other kinds of mental disorders triggered by the very existence of Jews found in the post-Christian West. They're far less disturbing on the surface, it's true, but they're mental orders no less, and I have in mind the fantasy common among leaders in the West who believe that Israel is the guilty party that must be forced to retreat from the high ground of Judea and Samaria that the Jews captured from their homicidal enemy, the Arabs. Because when they do return the land they captured, the Arabs will experience a change of heart. This is all the two-state solution stuff. As soon as the Jews have been driven from Judea and Samaria back to the 1949 ceasefire line, the Arabs will respond by smiling and extending a hand over the line in friendship. Give back Judea and Samaria, and the Arabs will become good and friendly neighbors. This is the fantasy of Vice President Joe Biden, of Secretary of State John Kerry, of leaders in Europe, in particular, the obsessive-compulsive French, who want an international peace conference, a gathering of superpowers and Arab countries on one side, of course, and tiny Israel isolated on the other, and Israel will be dictated to, requiring the Jews to retreat or be branded as a war criminal racist society that, like South Africa, does not deserve to exist. On Sunday in Paris, at a press conference that included Secretary of State Kerry and Federica Mogherini, the Tsarina of Foreign Affairs for the EU, the French Foreign Minister Jean-Marc Ayrault said the next day he would be in Brussels to address the EU's Foreign Affairs Council and, quote, present a draft initiative to relaunch the peace process. We all believe that we have to get out of this quagmire and set the necessary condition for resuming the peace process, close quote. And I say this is just more hallucinating about matters connected to Jews, hallucinating things that don't exist. He wants to relaunch the peace process? There never has been a peace process. 22 years ago, the West was delirious, intoxicated with the fantasy that peace had erupted between the homicidal, psychopathic PLO terrorist Arafat, with Abbas at his side on the White House lawn, on the one side, and the Jews. That was a major world historical lie, eventually exposed as such, though here we have the current foreign minister of France still living with the fantasy that there was a peace process, and that peace is attainable when the Jews are arm-twisted into surrendering the spoils of war, that they still need to defend themselves from these wild Arab savages inspired by bloodthirsty lunatics preaching from their pulpits that it's the Jews who are the bloodthirsty ones. Yeah, Muslim priests continue to preach sermons right out of the Dark Ages, but they're not alone in being afflicted by some kind of, not brain disease, but mind disease that produces these and other fantasies of Jewish evil. I say they are matched by the mental disorder of men like John Kerry, who agrees with his French counterpart and said in that press conference in Paris, Kerry did, that a global push is what's needed to make a peace deal. Translation, that international conference in which the world community, backing the Arabs and the Muslims, orders the Jews to give back what they took in war and legitimate self-defense, after which the Arabs will have yet a third chance at destroying the independence of the Jewish people and their state, which would include, of course, God forbid, killing millions of us and returning the survivors to the Jews' previous status as an oppressed and humiliated community, lacking all unalienable rights to live. They live on sufferance, will again, under their Muslim overlords. Arut Sheva reported last week that Robert Malley, halachically a Jew, but not only not at all Jewish, he was imbued with the values of communism by his father, the communist. Malley is paid by the American taxpayers to be a special assistant to President Obama, and last week he met Hanan Ashrawi of the PLO Executive Committee, the same PLO that sees in Zionism a racist, fascist, imperialist plot to steal Palestine from its legitimate ancient owners. The world is insane, with subtexts to otherwise normal news stories like this one. When examined, reveal the delusional and hallucinatory groundwork beneath them. When Joe Biden was in Ramallah last week, according to Khaled Abu Torma and Gatestone yesterday, he met with the Holocaust-denying lunatic Abbas to ask him to condemn the current knife intifada. That Biden was thinking this might bear fruit was another example of Einstein's wisdom about repeating failed attempts again and again and expecting a different response. It was more than two decades ago that we were entertained by that sick handshake on the White House lawn and told the PLO was finally ready for peace with Israel. And here, more than two decades later, the same Abbas who fooled the world on the White House lawn is again asked to make nice to the Jews. And again he refuses and exposes again that his behavior in 1993 was a lie. Abbas reportedly offered his condolences to Biden over the murder of Taylor Force, the American graduate student, but refused to condemn the latest fashionable Jew-killing spree that Abbas calls a, quote, popular and peaceful uprising. More than two dozen Jews have been murdered, and that's a popular and peaceful uprising. Nothing has changed here in the hearts and minds of these Arabs, who appear to be the same brutish people they have been since the age of Abraham. Abbas, just like Sheikh Mughrabi from his pulpit in Al-Aqsa, who speaks of Jews murdering Muslims in barrels to suck out their blood, Abbas has told his people that the Jews have aggressed repeatedly against Al-Aqsa Mosque. Mughrabi speaks the classic blood libel, and Abbas says the Jews are desecrating Muslim holy places and plotting to destroy them. These are birds of a feather. One wears a suit and is clean-shaven, but so what? We live in a world of lies. Alma de Shikra. Abbas lies, Mughrabi lies, the French foreign minister and his peer U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry lie about the prospects of peace and how the way to it is global. That's code for ganging up on the Jews and forcing them to retreat, forcing them to surrender infrastructure they built with their own money, surrender it to their mortal enemies who see in them the devil incarnate. In Germany, now 70 years after Auschwitz, and most of that time friendly to Israel, still, they haven't fully joined the lynch mob, but they're on the way, on the fringes. They formally oppose a boycott of Israel, but nonetheless we learn that they demand that all produce from the Jewish farms in the Jordan River Valley sold in German markets be labeled as grown on, quote, occupied territory, which implies territory seized in an act of criminal aggression by an occupier who must return the land to its rightful owners, the victims in this case of Jewish nationalism. The power of Jewishness to propel the human comedy expresses the will of Hashem, who orchestrates and conducts world history. He's called Hashem Tzvaot, God of legions, God of armies. Never cease generating events and news stories about Jews. Take today's story of the head of Israel's Society of Sociologists, teaches at Ben-Gurion University, who wants his association in the next meeting, some 1,000 members, to vote to boycott Ariel University because it's in the Shomron, not in the state of Israel, he says. This is more evidence of mental derangement. In a class with Kerry and Mogherini, this is a pointy-headed Israeli academic who apparently agrees that Israel must retreat from the high ground captured in 1967 so that Israel's peace-hungry neighbors can be turned into smiling, friendly neighbors next door. And I say this is just more rebellion by a Jew who doesn't want to be a Jew. He surely rejects the very idea that Jews have a special claim to the land on which Ariel University was built. Religion since the Enlightenment is poppycock, superstition, and nothing one should fight over and die for. Here is a typical de-Judaized Israeli academic who has no room in his thinking for what life would be like after driving all the Jews and army installations from Judea and Samaria. He too is obsessed with the connection to Jewishness that overrides all other rational considerations, keeping Judea and Samaria too Jewish, too religious. There's no place in his thinking for the endless stream of reports about our neighbors who are positively demented in their hatred of Jews that I compare to the poison of German Nazism a century ago. Post-Jewish Israeli academics like this Uri Ram, head of the Sociology Association, are fixated on stripping Israel of the heart of the Jewish homeland in the wholly fanciful expectation that afterwards the Palestinians will become our good friends. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. And now for the good news department. We learned this morning that Minister of the Interior Aryeh Deri, who's also head of the Shas Party, says that if the government recognizes Reform Judaism as legitimate, Shas, his party, leaves the coalition. I've never been a fan of his, but I agree with him on this. And the other Haredi party is talking the same way. Initially, the rabbi of the wall, Shmuel Rabinovich, and other Haredi MPs tolerated the deal over the wall made in late January. But since then, there has been such resistance in their communities. Now even Rabbi Rabinovich wants to see legislation that will override that deal. Aryeh Deri said in a Channel 2 interview yesterday, quote, "We will not sit in a government that recognizes reform, not over the Western Wall, not over marriage, not over divorce." What bugs yours truly about the government position, in my view, is that it's a mistaken view of American Reform Jewry, self-proclaimed as the largest stream, when behind these initiatives by the Reform, I'm confident, there is no great mass of Reform Jews following the issue. They couldn't care less. I think the government would not lose if it politely and nicely waved the banner of democracy before the eyes of these troublemakers and say, look here, there are some 10,000 synagogues in the country, all Orthodox versus, what, 30, 50 Reform groups. And the reason for that is historically understandable. Jews came home from over 100 countries, and everywhere except in the States, there was only so-called Orthodox Judaism, which historically speaking was never called that until the invention of Reform 200 years ago and in its wake the conservative movement. In history, there was no Orthodox Judaism, just Judaism, or better translated, I think, as Jewishness. The troublemakers must be told firmly in the name of democracy, not theology or religious doctrine, that what the Reform called Judaism, the overwhelming number of Jews in Israel say is not Judaism. And they're right, because Reform Jews do not share the classical beliefs and practices of classical, traditional, world-encircling Orthodox Judaism. The Reform big shots in the States must be requested in the name of democracy to respect the wishes of the majority of the people of Israel who are religious. What the Reform are trying to do at the wall might be compared imaginatively to Protestants who want us, they show up at St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City and demand to use the altar to conduct their worship service their way. And the analogy is fitting because so much of Reform Judaism was modeled in Germany on Protestant lines. To this day, the interior of Reform temples resembles the interior of Protestant churches, versus the Orthodox tradition of placing the bima, the reading stand in the middle, facing the ark, not to mention the Protestant practice of mixed seating. One might also check out the exterior of Temple Emmanuel in Manhattan with its rose window in the style of a Gothic cathedral. People who don't know any better when they pass that structure think it's a church. I think it is as much a matter of the security of Israel that it not recognize non-Orthodox streams as military defense is. That's why I would support bringing down the government over the issue. The Jewish people are pressured daily and have been since Sinai by the mixed multitude to modify their beliefs and practices and always in the same direction, making their beliefs and practices more like the surrounding non-Jewish religions and culture. It's a daily struggle for survival, to remain a people that dwells alone by remaining faithful to the faith of our fathers. And even if faith and practice is not your concern, there's no getting around the demographic evidence. The non-Orthodox are going the way of the 10 lost tribes. On that basis alone, their way for the Jewish people is death, and it must not be recognized.
ואם הייתי מבין את חששותייך ופונה אל רגשותייך רק באהבה וזהירות יתרה היה לי בך נפתח לא היית מדריסה נגדי כל פחדייך ומחזקת אותי באהבה עם הבטחה ובלי פשרה היה ליבי נרגע ואם היית מסמנת לי והייתה בך כוונה היה לי בן ומתחבר ואם אפשר היה למצוא מידה והייתה בך אמונה ואם היית מסמנת לי והייתה בך כוונה היה לי בן ומתחבר ואם אפשר היה למצוא מידה והייתה בך אמונה זמן נשבר שנרתנו נתקו אצבעותינו הכל נמוג לתוך דממה ואז ליבי כפר אני נושם פורס ידיים את ענך ואני ידיים לחבר קו לקו מוצא מדי עכשיו ליבי ואם היית מסמנת לי והייתה בך כוונה היה לי בן ומתחבר ואם אפשר היה למצוא מידה והייתה בך אמונה ואם היית מסמנת לי והייתה בך כוונה היה לי בן ומתחבר ואם אפשר היה למצוא מידה והייתה בך אמונה היה לי בן הוא אוהב מתחבר היה לי בי נרגע שואל היה לי בן הוא נפתח היה לי בן הוא נפגע חששותייך ופונה אל רגשותייך רק באהבה ובזהירות יתרה
And now the last two good news items. Ironically, in the same news outlets today that reported on the sociologists who want to boycott Ariel University, it was reported that a new treatment for the kind of massive bleeding caused in accidents and Jew-killing knife attempts has been worked on from research at Ariel, which could save in the future who knows how many lives. It's a real breakthrough, they said. This is Moshe Rogoznitsky. He specializes in finding new and surprising uses for drugs other than their initial intended purpose. He discovered that a certain cancer treatment when used to treat these traumatic wounds, could be a wonder drug. And the good news item number two, the IDF may not only have developed a way and a weapon to foil the tunnels of death that the barbarians build from Gaza into Israel, the same technology could be used to destroy Iran's nuclear installations, believed to be currently invulnerable to conventional bombs and long-range missiles. Jews are a piece of work, aren't they? And I think such success only stimulates further, I fear, our mortal enemies in their chronic delusions and hallucinations about our alleged and imagined evil designs. Okay, that's it for this Tuesday night, and I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.